Fantasy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I love historical fiction. I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Stephen Hartov, and the name of his book is The Last of the Seven. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Patsy. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it once again. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a joy to talk to you because I have over 3,000 books, and I would say 500 of them are military history. I've always been interested in military history ever since I started studying Latin in high school, and we translated Caesar's Gallic Wars. And I had the opportunity to visit many, many battlefields all across Europe. That's why when I got The Last of the Seven, and I discovered that it is about an unknown troop called the X Troop that I had not heard about. And in some ways, it's very personal, so I just love this story. You know, I love when a book opens with a real nail biter, and you're like, oh, what's going to happen? And this book certainly starts with a real nail biter, as we have a German, we think, officer land up in the middle of British troops. Tell us about this character that you have created.
Well, you know, we both probably grew up reading the same sorts of things. And of course, I was enthralled as a kid with military history. My mom was a refugee from Austria, and she started me reading very young. And by the time I was 10, I was reading The Guns of Navarone by Alistair MacLean. I was reading Exodus by Leon Uris. You know, I was even reading Norman Mailer stuff. I mean, that was after I'd finished reading The Hardy Boys, like all those kids did. So then, for the rest of my early adulthood, I served in various militaries. I was in the U.S. Merchant Marine. I was in the Israeli Army as a paratrooper, you know, and I just retired recently as a major from the New York Guard, and that's fed a lot of my fiction. But because of my curiosity about the lesser-known aspects of history and warfare, I came across this group of Jewish commandos who served in North Africa in the early part of World War II, 42, 43, and they were called the Special Interrogation Group. That was prior to X Troop. And these fellows, mostly Germans and Austrians, were gathered together by a British captain who trained them. He was dead fluent in German. Bertie Buck was his name. And he trained them how to camouflage themselves perfectly as Nazi soldiers. And from there, they were often running. They would infiltrate German lines and get British Special Air Service troops through the long-range desert group. They'd escort them in, and they often did it as if they had these fellows captive. So you'd have these Jews in German uniforms pretending to be Germans with British prisoners, and that's how they'd get them through the lines, and they would raid German airfields. And it was an unknown aspect of warfare history in North Africa in World War II.
Wow.
So that's how the impetus for this story came to me, and I thought, okay, these guys, you know, need to be talked about. And that's what generated, you know, my desire to write their story in fictional form. So a lot of this book is fact, but historical fiction, I weave my fictional characters through real events, and that's how The Last of the Seven came to be.
Well, it is an exciting story, and it starts with this nail biter. You don't know at first what's happening, what's going on, and then we get to know the main character. Tell us about Froelich. You've really given him a real personality so that we understand him and we want to and we care about him. Throughout the book, there are so many times when we're just really a nail, when they talk about a nail biter. Your book, you have some real nail biters where we really get tense with the action.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was going for that. And, you know, when somebody really appreciates that, you know, the work that you did, the book took me quite a few years to write. So when somebody gets it and somebody of your caliber gets it, it's really great. So I appreciate that. Well, Froelich, Bernard Froelich, is actually based on my mother's brother who came here from Austria by himself, came to the States by himself. Lost most of the family in the Holocaust, learned English, turned around, joined the American Army, went ashore a few days after D-Day in France, and fought all the way across Europe under Patton. So a lot of Froelich's personality and his background and his hometown, all the stuff that's in the book about his sister and his hometown is all based on my uncle and my mother and their parents. He is a very real character to me. Now, of course, I imbued him with my own feelings about and struggles as a you know, paratrooper and as a soldier myself. I mean, that's where you get the, you know, if you haven't really done something like that, it's very difficult to write about it accurately. It's why I always say to people when I'm on a book tour or something, they ask me what kind of research I do, and I say, which is true, I never write about some place that I haven't gone to, because you can't smell it or taste it unless you've been there. I mean, there are writers who have to write using Google research because they can't go somewhere, but it's a primary thing for me, and it's the same with my characters. I usually write from a point of view of something that I've experienced myself so that it will seem very real. And that's why that opening, you know, I was in the desert for a long time as a soldier, and that's why that opening sequence, I think, seems so real to you.
I like to say it plays so well, because as I was reading this book, I saw it as a film in my head. And I think that comes from, you have a background in theater. And so your writing, you're so cinematic. You really, really take us into the story. I saw it as a film in my head, and I'm hoping that one day somebody will make a film of it, because it's wonderful. I think I mentioned to you once that I really love Sicily. I spent quite a bit of time in Sicily. I love Sicily. And when you get to Sicily, you really write about Sicily. It's fantastic.
Two things that you just mentioned, which might be interesting to some listeners, is, yeah, you're right. I actually went to theater school. I thought that's what I was going to do. And when I got out of the Army, I was no longer interested in performing myself. I wanted to write. But those 4 years of theater school really informed the way I structure a book, how I visualize it, the way you do also, very cinematically. And it was very helpful with dialogue. It's always been helpful for me in creating dialogue, having that education. So then the other thing is Sicily. So you understand exactly what I was talking about before. If you've been to Sicily and somebody writes about Sicily who hasn't been there, you're going to know. And that's why I go to the places that I'm going to write about. So, you know, we're both in love with this place. And I hope that it comes out in the pages how I felt about Sicily. And then I place the characters into that environment.
Tell us about the monastery that... You know, it's always so wonderful when you're writing a story, it takes over your whole being. You're just immersed in it, and you have an idea. And then, of course, as I said, in Sicily is a special place. When I think back to the time that I was there and I had the opportunity to actually talk to people who lived through World War II, you know, older people in the villages, and they are all so warm and friendly, and you could sit all day just chatting with them, but they would talk about their memories of that time. Tell us a little bit about how you discovered this monastery.
Well, Sicily is a magical place. And there are still a few elderly people who remember the war. And when you go to Sicily, as you know, you're still passing German machine gun bunkers. You see in Gela, there are murals on the wall about Operation Husky that show American paratroopers coming. I mean, the Sicilians haven't forgotten. But I decided that the central piece of this drama was going to take place in Sicily. I don't know why. Sometimes these things just come to you. And that it was going to take place in a field hospital in a monastery. Why? I don't know. But that's what popped into my mind. And I picked this monastery in Agrigento off the net. I just looked up, you know, beautiful classic monasteries in Sicily. I picked Santo Spirito, this monastery. And then after structuring the book, I knew I had to go there and actually feel it, look at it, see it. And it was going to be a field hospital in my story. And I went there. I stayed there because they have a B&B. I had a guide who was a young sister, a nun. And on the second day, standing there in this beautiful monastery, I asked her, I said, Sister Mary Catherine, I think was her name, she asked, what happened here during World War II? And she says, it was a field hospital. And I was just...
It gives you the chills.
She said, yes, it was an American and British field hospital. The nave was bombed by the Germans. They used the back part of the courtyard. And I was just, I knew I was in the right place. So I stayed there for 10 days, and I wrote basically all my notes for the middle part of the book right there in Agrigento and Sculiana. And that's why the texture of it, I think, feels real to the reader because it felt real to me.
It does. As you said, it's the middle part of the book. And when I got to that part, I was enthralled with it and with your writing, being able to see it right from the beginning. Actually, from the first scene, I was thinking of it as a film. And I'm sometimes when I do that, I just sort of have to pinch myself and say, it's not a film yet, but it's going to be one day.
I hope so. I hope you're right. As they say, from your mouth to God's ears, I hope somebody recognizes that it would make a good film. But, you know, that's up to the gods of Hollywood. You know how these things happen. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't.
I know. I've got three of them in turnaround. One of these days.
There you go.
You never know. But this is exactly the kind of film. There's the humanity of it, the understanding of that you've been to war, you understand what it means, and you understand, and I think that comes through the pain. I mean, there's a lot of pain in this book, you know, from the battle scenes, but there's also, I think, a big heart, and there's an underlying theme, I think, that you have there of really that there is a goodness in mankind if we look for it.
That's my theme, Patsy. I mean, I licensed a photograph, a Getty photograph, for my website, and I sort of use it as a theme. And it's a picture of an elderly Sicilian woman kissing a 19-year-old GI after the liberation of Sicily. And it means it's a Holten Deutsch photograph, and it's gorgeous. It's on my website if anybody wants to look. It's on the homepage of stephenhartsong.com. And I write under there. I don't write war stories. I write stories about people that happen to take place during times of war. And that's my, you know, I'm not about the gunfire. I'm about between the gunfire or after the gunfire or what people are feeling, whether they're combatants or witnesses. And I think that's much more interesting than the action, although, of course, the action feeds those emotions. So if you get that balance right, you've got more than a war book. You've got sort of a universal story of the human condition and soul and struggle.
Well, I think The Last of the Seven is a fantastic novel and one that I hope that people will get. One of the things is, you know, the bravery of these people to go into this fight when they were out of it. They didn't have to go back. People who had lost so much already, and they go back to fight and to get revenge, but...
Well, yes. I mean, the bravery was incomparable. The danger to these young men was at least double, if not triple. I mean, they were all Jews, so if they got caught by the Germans, they knew they were going to die. And if they got caught by the Germans while wearing German uniforms, they were going to die quickly and not well.
Yeah,
so
maybe not quick enough. They would have been tortured. They would have been the horrific death that they would have suffered if they had been caught in German uniform. They were so very brave. And I think, you know, by bringing out this Troop X and getting people really to understand it, to appreciate it, it also reflects on you and what you've done in your service, both to America and to Israel. I don't know, a few years ago, we would not have thought that there would be a war in the Ukraine. So
Correct. There
is this interest now, I think, in understanding what's happening and what happens to the fighters, and as you said, the people before and after a battle. So there's a lot in your book that is so relevant to today as well as to World War II.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think people are becoming, you know, we haven't had a conflict like that in Europe since in a long, 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 long time. And it does reflect back on the European and East European landmass and how volatile it is. And when you're living in an area that is that volatile and can erupt into a shooting war so quickly, you begin to understand, and a lot of our young people look at this war and then they understand, oh, that's what World War II must have been like. So, you know, time passes very, very quickly, but it doesn't change much.
No.
So I think you're right. I think that, you know, writing historical fiction about some of these great struggles is relevant, always relevant to what's going on somewhere in the world. And that's why people identify with it or seem to. Yes,
definitely. Now, I like that you mentioned in the beginning that you were reading at 10 years old. You were... you were reading, you know, and as I was, of course, I remember I was must have been the same age when I read Exodus and Mila 18. I remember that book. So I went through a period there where all I would eat, and my mother almost went crazy, I think for about 2.5 weeks while I was reading that book and several other books, all I wanted was a watery soup made with potato skins. And I did it. I just had to know what it was like. And
oh my Lord, we had very similar childhoods, and our mothers must have suffered equally.
I think so. Later on, I had the opportunity to be at the 50th anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And,
oh, wow.
And I was there, and I remembered how that book had, in a way, it changed my life. Because after that, I understood, and it changed my life. And books can do that, and that's why I'm sad that in America, so many young people can only read at an eighth grade level, and I just don't understand it, because having books will change your life.
Oh, yes, Exodus changed mine, and I wasn't always happy about it. I mean, when I read it two or three times when I was of that age, about 13, and then 10 years later, I was an Israeli paratrooper, which was the most brutal experience I'd ever had. And Leon Uris showed up at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem to work on another book, and I wanted to go kill him. But I got over that, you know. So, yeah, books can change your life. And it is a terrible shame that, I mean, the whole reading culture now has been reduced to, you know, quick bites. And, you open a magazine article online, and the first thing it does is tell you how much time it's going to take you to read it, as if that's the most important thing, you know. And I wish we could re-imbue our younger people with the love of reading. There will always be a certain percentage who do love to read, but I sort of feel when I talk to my younger peers that the numbers of young folks who will sit down and have the patience to read a good a novel it's dwindling. It's definitely dwindling. I don't know how we're going to turn that around, if ever.
As you mentioned Exodus, it changed my life because I was in one of the first groups of American volunteers after the Yom Kippur War. I got up, you know, I was in California, in Berkeley, and I just left. I went to Israel after the war.
Wow.
And that was all because of Exodus, 100%.
Yeah, totally.
I was very young, but that was part of me. We did have, I think, very similar mothers.
Very similar experiences. I was there too.
Yeah.
And I was so influenced by that book and other stories about Israel and so forth that I quit college.
Me too.
In the middle. You too?
Yes.
I went and joined. I was broke, so I couldn't get to the Middle East.
Me
except
too.
One way, and that was by joining the Merchant Marine until I could get close enough to jump ship. So that's how I got there.
And I didn't have to pay for my flight because I was a volunteer. They paid for volunteers to go, and I was there.
There you go.
Well, I love this book, The Last of the Seven, by Stephen Hartoff. And then when they get through with that, you have some other just great books. And I want to tell people, you've probably seen Stephen. He's been on CNN and Fox and CNBC. They ask him questions about, I think, a lot of terrorist events, right?
Yeah, that when they have me on, it's usually in reference to some sort of military specialty or counterterrorism or my experiences overseas or in Afghanistan or whatever. But my real love is writing fiction. I've written a lot of nonfiction and successfully and so forth. But this is the stuff when you can really go to town with your themes and your characters.
And the important thing, you can touch people's hearts and minds.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And get
exactly.
them to think about things as Leon Uris did for us, you know? So
exactly, exactly.
Yeah, you know, so you're the next generation. a wonderful, wonderful book. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. It's been a joy to talk to you. You know what we'll do is we'll have you back and we'll talk about some of your other books. And also the influence of studying theater, how that has affected your writing. Okay?
Patsy, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank you on behalf of all writers who've experienced your program and readers who listen to you, that this is a rare and wonderful thing you do, and bless you for it. I really appreciate it. Look forward to being on again.
Okay, so it's Stephen Hartov. His website is, it's just stephenhartov.com, right?
Correct.
Okay, everybody, get this book. It's a great read, and get it, and then when the film comes out, you'll be able to say, ah, I read the book, okay? Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye now.